Let's have a back at the party moment. We are looking for a new way to see the world.
Hi everyone, and welcome to the Back at the Party with Megan. This is my brand new podcast brought to you in partnership with my friends over at Zoda Pop. And if you are listening in, we also have video versions available over on Spotify or on YouTube. So join the party however you wish. And today we are on our fourth episode. We're going to be talking about a new way to look at health, fitness, wellness, and I'm so excited to share with you guys that today's episode is sponsored by my friends at Moom Health. You can see this little setup here dedicated to Moom, and we're going to get a little bit more into Moom later on in the podcast, so sit tight and let's head to the back of the party. Okay, so since we're going to be talking about health and wellness today, I wanted to take a more holistic approach. I didn't want to just talk about, I guess, more typical things like, oh, fitness, exercise. So we're going to have three different parts to today's episode. We have fitness, supplements, health supplements, and then therapy. And I'm going to talk about how they all kind of came together to form the health and wellness rituals that I have in my day-to-day now, the routines that I engage in. The first one is fitness, which I think probably is the part that's going to be like the most relatable, right? Because everybody kind of like knows at the back of the head that fitness is like good for you, like engaging in activities, like being active, that's all good for your health. And I guess the thing about it being so entrenched in this like popular imagination of health is that it then comes with a lot of like expectations, right? A lot of expectations about what health should look like, what fitness should look like, what exercise should look like. And that was something that I really had to untether myself from, because I grew up like, I guess in a, I mean, I think I don't have it as bad as like kids nowadays do, but right around the time where I was like a teen was when Instagram really started to like blow up. As I started to grow older, there were all these different things, like trends going on, right? Like being on Instagram and especially on Tumblr, things like, oh, Fitspo, like Victoria's Secret Model, like all these different sorts of like medias, different mediums, different platforms that were all contributing to this idea of what fitness and health were supposed to look like. And at that point in time, I was like maybe 12 to about 17, around that age. And I think as a child, I was very, very active. Like when I was in primary school, I was on the netball team. Like I loved being active. I loved running around. And you know, when you're in school, like there's like PE and it's fun. It's like a fun time away from all the classes, right? So before the kind of like advent of social media in this way that I was describing, like fitness was just a thing that came very naturally to me as a child, right? Because it's about engaging in this like active sort of play. And because I was on the netball team and I loved being on the netball team, that was all very like routine, but in a good sort of way. And because my dad is also very into sports and like being active, so as a child, I also like had the experience of like, you know, oh, I want to try a new sport. I want to play like table tennis. Then we would go out and get like a table tennis set, or like he would teach me how to swim. So there was never really like that pressure as a child to like look a certain way or act a certain way in the pursuit of health and wellness, right? I guess you don't really think about that as a child. But then when I moved into my teenage years, and then Instagram started blowing up, Tumblr started blowing up, and then K-pop was also beginning to be a thing. Like I think right around the age of me being like 12, like primary 6, was when K-pop really started to blow up. And then as I grew up into like my proper teenage years, like 14, 15 was when girl groups were like a big thing. And then obviously all these like K-pop stars, they are like made to look a very specific way. Like they're all skinny, they're all lean, they're like muscular, they're active, they can dance. And also like K-pop idols are like notorious for having all these really strict diets, right? Like, oh, so-and-so eats like one sweet potato for lunch and one apple for breakfast, and for dinner, like two sweet potatoes and one corn. Like what was once like, I guess, something fun, like exercising used to be fun, became something that was slowly loaded with like more and more pressures, because even the act of being like active or engaging in fitness became like a social media aesthetic. And I think this is true even now, or even more so now. Like there are influencers who have fitness influencers. Like Fitspo is a trend that has never really gone away, and people continue to like look to these like celebrities or like influencers for ways to achieve this like look or this active lifestyle. very, very recently during like Circuit Breaker, we had the whole like wave of like Chloe Ting workouts. Like everybody wants to look like that, and everybody wants to do it like from the comfort of their own home. Like there's just all these expectations around exercise. Like exercise is not really just about, oh, being healthy or staying active. Exercise is about looking a certain way at the end of it. And then there's also this whole thing of like people evaluating what exercise to engage in so that they look a certain way. Like for example, oh, I don't want to spin because I think spinning gives you like really chonky legs. Or like, I don't want to lift because I don't want to look like muscular. I want to look like skinny and lean. And I think we've just like reached a point where like it's just completely inextricable from each other. There is no way to talk about like health or fitness in like popular culture without also talking about what you get out of it aesthetically. I'm not saying that it's bad to sort of like have an aesthetic goal when you exercise, but I think like what I had to do, like my own personal journey, was that I really needed to take a big, big step back away from exercising at all in order to kind of like untangle this web of like exercise and aesthetics. It just got to a point where I didn't really know why I was exercising anymore. Like I was just exercising for the sake of it because I felt like I needed to look a certain way, and I didn't really know how to look at it a different way because everything else that I saw on media was encouraging this sort of like perspective, right? And I guess that's also why I wanted to talk about like health, fitness, and wellness today, because I said before that this podcast is about looking for a different way to see things, right? Like what is a way that we can approach all these health practices that is different to what social media tells us how we should approach it, or that is different to how popular media tells us we should approach it. And this is definitely not a problem that's like specific to this current time, right? I think like before there was social media, there was like Hollywood, there were tabloids, there were all these different things that also contributed to these sort of ideas. But I think that because of the way social media is sort of like engineered, right, to make you feel like, oh, there are people behind these accounts. Like these are actual everyday people making TikToks, making Instagram posts, and this is like their actual everyday lifestyle. Like they actually exercise, they actually look like that as a result of the exercise. That like you don't think like, oh, it's just this like person in Hollywood who has like all these like access to like specific diets and then like a personal trainer. Like no, what you're seeing on social media is like these everyday sorts of people, whether they are actually everyday or not is besides the point, right? But that is the illusion that social media gives you, that these people are like just like you and me kind of vibe, and they can achieve that. So then it makes you feel like, oh, then how come I'm not achieving that? Or should I then be achieving that through exercise? So I think where I landed when it comes to like health and wellness was that these routines that I engage in and this journey that I take has to be completely like self-directed. And I have to find like my own motivation to do it that is outside of all like the social media chatter. Not only does it have to be self-directed, it has to be self-directed in like a specific direction that is not just superficial, right? And again, I don't mean that like, oh, if you're doing it for superficial aesthetic reasons, that is bad. I mean, if that's what motivates you and if that's what's helpful for you, like, sure, go ahead. But that wasn't helpful for me because I felt like no joy engaging in exercise anymore when I used to enjoy it so much. In a week, it used to be that I would engage in like high intensity interval trainings for like maybe once or twice a week, and then I'll go for a dance class once or twice a week, and this was all like really enjoyable. And then it got to a point where I was like, oh, actually I no longer enjoy this anymore because I'm going for these classes and I'm thinking, oh, like why don't I look any better, or like why don't I feel any better? So then I took a step back from exercising for 2 years, about the time that I entered university, when I was going through like I guess a life change. I was also becoming more intentional with my time, with my headspace, and then I realized that whatever I invest my time in has to be this conscious, intentional act that I had thought through, and not just going through the motions for the sake of it. Because then obviously like it takes time. If you go for classes, it takes money as well. So I only really got back into it like I want to say the last year of uni, my last year of uni. So I was about like 21, 22 when I sort of got back into it again. And it was kind of like by chance, actually. At the point, it was just entered the media industry, and then I was going for all these events, and then, you know, fitness events like started becoming very, very popular. Like things like, oh, okay, like this brand invites you down for like a spin class, try out their new activewear, or like, oh, this brand is like opening this new studio, like come on over and like try it out. So that's how I kind of like started getting back into it. Not really like getting back into it, like, okay, it's my routine, but just like, okay, I'm going to give it like a shot. I guess because I saw it, it's like, okay, it's sort of like one part of the job to like attend these events, right? To meet these people that you work with. So it's like, okay, I'll go for the event. So I went for like a spin event. It was a Spin Studios grand opening for like one of their outlets. And I tried it and I was like, oh, actually, this was really fun. It didn't feel like I was going down to exercise. It felt like I was just going down for an event with a friend. And then I was just seeing how I liked it. I didn't feel any pressure of like, oh, I need to perform in this spin class. I need to burn like this amount of calories. It was just like, okay, I'm just gonna sit on the bike and I'm gonna do what they tell me. And if I can't keep up, I can't keep up. And if I can keep up, then okay. And I walked away from it feeling like, wow, like I actually kind of enjoyed that. Maybe it's time for me to start like looking into getting back into exercise again. Like maybe I'm in a better headspace now. And I started working with the Spin Studio and I would go for classes and then I wore this sports watch, right? And I wore it during class and I was like, oh, okay, it's really cool. You get to see like how many calories you're burning, how far in you are to the exercise session, and then also like what stage your body is in. Like, is it like at fat burning? Is it like aerobic, anaerobic? I was like, oh, okay, this is kind of interesting. Like, so, and then I posted it on social media to share about it because I was like, okay, like, you know, when a media company sends you something that you try it out, you share about it with your followers. It's kind of like the expected protocol, right? And then I had like followers or friends like messaging me like, oh, you know, like there's not a lot of calories to burn, or like, oh, you know, you can burn way more calories just by like walking, for example. And I think because I was in like a better headspace with social media as well, when I received those comments, I didn't really feel badly about it. I just felt like, oh, okay, that's interesting, but I kind of don't care. That was kind of when I knew that I had entered like a new good positive headspace where I was just exercising because I enjoyed it, because I enjoyed how I felt from it. Like I felt refreshed, I felt like happy, like the endorphins and everything, they were like producing, and I didn't care like what the output was. Like I think when I first started spinning, like the amount of calories that I burnt was maybe only like 200, 300, when you're supposed to be able to go up to like 500 or 600 or something like that, right? Felt good to know that I had reached that point, right? And then as I exercised more, I think this mindset sort of developed even further. It developed even further than just like, oh, okay, I don't care how many calories I burn. I just like doing it. It became sort of like an act of gratitude towards my body. And that's a mindset that I haven't really strayed away from. In fact, it's something that I've believed in more and more since then, since the time where I first like encountered that thought, right? It made me realize that, yeah, actually, exercising is good for my body and it's an act of gratitude for my body. My body takes me through so many different things. I put my body through so much every single day. And me going for an exercise class, me going like for a spin class, a yoga class, it's like an act of telling my body like, thank you so much for taking care of me, and this is me taking care of you in return. Like this is me saying like, I'm grateful to you for housing all these like emotions and thoughts and energies. And that was like a really happy thought for me to land at, being grateful for my body and being grateful for the things that I was able to do. I did move on from spin sometime this year because I got COVID. I contracted COVID after I came back from like a trip right around maybe May. And then I just couldn't bring myself to go back to a spin studio because I did not feel good immediately after COVID. Even after I had like sort of like recovered from COVID, I was like negative. I was a negative COVID test. Like I still felt very, very tired very easily. I felt like breathless. I was still coughing. And I just felt like going back to spin was not the right decision for me. I felt like it would take too much out of me. And I already have this experience with spin where I know it's very high intensity. It leaves me like heaving. And I just felt like that wasn't somewhere I wanted to go back to at the moment, at that point in time. And for a while, I was kind of like, almost like beating myself up about it. I was like, oh, like you made all this progress with spin, like you're doing so well, like, you know, you were getting like momentum back again into exercise. But now just because of COVID, like you're just going to give up, like you're just not going to spin anymore. And I felt that way. And then it took me a while to be like, wait a second, like that's not very nice of me. Like I'm not being very nice to myself. Like why do I have this fixation of like, oh, I have to spin, like I put in all this effort and now it's all gone to waste. Because then I would try to go for spin classes, but I wouldn't enjoy it anymore. And I was like, you know what? This has totally strayed from like where I initially started out at spin. And I need to recognize that my body's needs has like changed since. My interest in exercising has changed as well. And like, that's okay, right? There's so many other different sorts of exercises. And just because I don't want to go back to spin anymore doesn't mean like all the months that I put into spin is like completely all for nothing, right? I mean, besides my experience, it's been like, I'm also building up my body in a variety of other ways, right? And then I also happened to attend like a HIIT class at Ground Zero. And I realized like, hey, actually, I kind of like this. I actually, at this moment, prefer it to spin. Because I felt like with spin, I was working out my legs. I was obviously working out my cardiovascular system. But I wasn't really getting like the full body workout that I wanted. But HIIT allowed me that space to work on everything. And then there are also a lot of like different HIIT classes available at Ground Zero. So I could choose what kind of exercise or like which area I wanted to work on, like what specific like issue I wanted to work on. And so that gave me like a lot more freedom, which then led to like a more enjoyable exercise experience. So I did HIIT for a while, and then I just happened to be invited to an event at Yoga Movement. And let me tell you guys, I used to hate yoga. I used to hate yoga so much because I was forced to do like a year of yoga when I was back in SOTA. Like, and it was really not optimal. I really don't think like we did yoga properly, but we would go into like a theater studio. There'd be no mats. The floor is like kind of hard. It takes a lot of flexibility. It takes a lot of strength. It's very difficult. So I was like, oh my God, I hate yoga and I'm never ever doing yoga ever again. So since I graduated from SOTA, I was like, anytime anybody invited me to like a yoga class, like a yoga event, it's just like, flat out like, no, I don't want to do yoga. But because I work so closely with Cheek, I was like, okay, I'm going to go to like support my friends. But I did a yoga class and then I realized that I actually really enjoyed the session. And I think number one, it was because there was very little pressure involved. I knew that because it was like a media event, it wasn't like a yoga class. People weren't expecting the participants to be any good, right? It could be like a first time or you could be like a regular yoga person. Everybody's probably like too busy working on themselves to really look at like, oh, like, how's this person doing? Like, oh my God, Megan looks so silly, right? And then also, it was having that freedom of like, okay, if I try this yoga class out and I don't like it, I never have to come back. Whereas when I was doing it back in SOTA, it was like, okay, I hated this yoga session, but I got to do it like tomorrow again, or I got to do it like next week again for the next year. It was so restricting and it was such a bad experience. But because this was just like a one-time thing, I was like, okay, if I don't like it, that's fine. At least I tried again. But I did it and I actually really enjoyed it. I think I liked that it required a sort of like quiet strength. It engages a lot of your muscles, but not in a way that is like very like hot and heavy and like fast and intensive. It's really an act of like slowing down with your body and like letting your body lean into like the stretches, into like engaging your muscles. And it focused a lot on breathing as well. And I'll get into why that was really important to me later. But that was something that I really enjoyed. So I was like, oh, maybe I should give yoga a try. So because I was working with ClassPass at the time as well, I had the opportunity to sort of like try out more yoga classes with Yoga Movement. And the more I did yoga, the more I fell in love with it. And I kind of feel like at this point, it's like the highest form of gratitude I can show my body. Because like I said, it requires such this quiet strength, right? It's not showy. It's not big, like, woo, like, let's go. Like, that's the kind of vibe you get from spin, right? I mean, nothing wrong with that. That's very fun as well. But it's just like tuning into yourself and asking your body, like, what do I need, right? And I think a couple of months ago, I was going through this really hard time in my life and I was in a lot of pain. I think when I'm in a lot of like emotional pain and stress, it manifests in my body. Anxiety is not just like in your head, for example. It stretches out to every part of your life, like your appetite, your sleep, even the way your body feels, right? Like when you feel anxious, you can pinpoint where you feel anxious. Like, is it your chest? Like, is it your head that feels tense? Is it like your fingers that hurt? And because I was in such a like a bad spot emotionally, I was feeling a lot of pain and I wasn't getting good rest as well, which led to even more pain. Like, I would wake up feeling very achy. I just feel so tired. And going to yoga was like a brief respite. Like, at the start of every yoga class, right, you start by breathing, just focusing on your breathing. You bring your awareness and your attention back to your breath. It's just this like act of like, okay, breathing in and breathing out. Very simple, but like something that you don't often think about. Like, you don't often think about like your breath, right? But it's actually such an important part of you moving and doing things at all. The teacher usually says that, okay, like, set an intention for the class. It can be a word, can be a phrase, a quote, a sentence. Just set an intention just for you. And nobody else has to know about it, right? And I thought that, oh, okay, like, that's really interesting. Today, it can just be like, I'm going to follow through on every single step. It can be, I'm going to get like a big stretch out of this. Or it can be, okay, I'm just going to stretch out the pain. But every single lesson I went into, I could tailor the experience uniquely for myself. And I think all that stretching, all that breathing really just helped me to like come back into my own body and acknowledge like, okay, I am actually feeling all these different things. Let's carve out an hour of my time today to just give back to my own body, to say like, okay, I know you're in pain, let's work through it together. And I think the other really beautiful like realization that I came to when I was doing yoga was that I loved the way my body looked. And I don't mean that like, oh wow, I look hot, I look like I've got a banging bod. Like, that wasn't what I meant. Like, it was more like I would check the mirror. I would check my posture in the mirror. I would check like my pose. I would make sure that, you know, my back is straight, like my legs are bent well, things like that. And then as I was doing all those things, like I could see my body so clearly. Like I was really taking the time to assess my body. But I wasn't assessing it in like an unkind way, like you look so this or you look so that. It was more like observing my body, observing the state that my body was in. And it was so interesting. As I moved, I can see like my muscles in my legs like working really hard, being engaged. This is how my body works. Coming to this like consciousness and this awareness of my body made me appreciate it so much. When I looked at the way my belly was folding or the way like my chest like stretched up to the sky, I didn't feel like, oh, like why do I look so ugly? Or like why does it look like so fat? It made me think like, wow, while I'm stretching and while I'm breathing, like my body feels good. Like I feel like relieved of pain, for example. And this is how my body looks like when I'm relieving it of pain. There's like fat spilling out. It's like my belly is like folded. It's not like your conventional like, oh, attractive female body, right? But when my body looks like that, I'm actually giving back to my body, relieving it of pain. I'm nourishing it. And that's how my body looks like when I'm nourishing it. Being able to look at my body for what it's doing for me as opposed to like what it should be or what it should look like or what I want it to look like. Like, actually, I just want to be good to myself and I want to be good to my body. And if this is how it looks while I'm doing that, then that's exactly how it should look. And I think all of this was just me stepping into this like idea of like self-directed health, right? Engaging in fitness or like being a fitspo is like having abs, having like a flat stomach, really muscular arms. Being active, being healthy is not any of that. It's about making your body feel good. Whatever it is that your body needs, giving your body what it needs and thanking your body, showing gratitude to your body. Thank you for relieving yourself of pain. If that's how you look while you do that, then thank you. I think it's like a very gentle way to look at your body and to look at fitness, right? When the media is so saturated with like your 15-step routine, the most intense HIIT workout you'll ever see on YouTube in 45 minutes. And it's like this like banging music. And then these people like who are like so motivational, like, come on, like, let's go, let's do it. Like, I mean, that's all fine and good if it motivates you. But I think I needed like a more gentle approach. That's also one of the reasons why I don't like certain HIIT studios. Like, there are certain HIIT studios who like scream and shout at you to like motivate you to work. It's like, oh, like come on, like go harder, harder, harder. That's how they motivate you, right? But I knew that that wasn't what I enjoyed. And I think I realized that I didn't enjoy that because I had to be self-directed in the actions that I took when it came to like my health. And me showing up to a class is already me doing something for my body. And I know my own body best, right? And I don't need somebody to be like screaming and shouting at me like, oh, go faster, go harder. Because like, I already showed up for myself. Maybe this is all I can give to you. Maybe I don't have anything else to give to you, right? So like, don't shout at me. Yoga is a really good place for that affirming support. Like the teachers are always saying like, you know, if this is as far as you can go today, that's fine. Like, don't overstretch yourself. They give you like three options. Like, it's option one, option two, option three. Take whichever you're most comfortable with. And if ever you feel like you need a break, you can go into this resting pose. Even though they're teaching to like a class of like 10, 20 people, it's still a very tailored experience to yourself because you can make that experience for yourself, right? So I think that's where I landed at with fitness, just an act of gratitude towards my own body, wherever it's at the moment. And I think since then, it's been just a really joyful experience for me. If this week I don't really feel like I'm up for yoga, then I just don't go. I don't beat myself up about it. But of course, it's also like a work in progress, right? Like, even though I'm sitting here like telling you all of these things, there are obviously like certain periods where I don't feel good about myself. I think I fell sick a month or so back. And then because I fell sick, I couldn't attend yoga for like maybe 2 weeks. And then on top of that, I was like kind of busy. So I couldn't attend for a while. And then when I went back and I did like a hot class, it's basically like a regular yoga class, except that the air conditioning is off and the room is heated to like this certain temperature that's hot, basically. And when I started yoga, like, that was the kind of classes that I loved the most. It gave you a really, really good stretch, and you sweat so much that you know that your body's working. So then after I recovered, I came back from my break from yoga. I went to the hot class, and I couldn't keep up. And I was like, oh my God, this is horrible. Like all the work that I put into yoga from like the previous months has all just gone to waste because I can't even keep up with this regular hot class anymore. Like I feel so terrible after it. Like what has happened to me? And I was like really beating myself up. And then I went for another class. I was like, no, I gotta keep up this time. I'm gonna keep up. And I did it and I just felt so, so bad after that. And because I felt badly after that, I had to like take a step back. I was like, wait a second. Like what's not working? Why am I feeling this way? And I realized, you know what? I need to like chill out. Like I talk a big game about like, oh, showing gratitude to your body and like taking it slow, whatever. But then when it comes to myself, all of a sudden I'm like, oh, like why am I keeping up? Like what happened to all the hard work that I put into? Like it's not a linear journey. People think like, oh, you start exercising and then it's all up from there. Like every single time you do it, it's like you're building your strength up. But they don't talk about like it being like there are like highs and lows, ebbs and flows. Sometimes like you're in a really good space, you've got lots of time to invest into exercising. Okay, you can go for more classes, you build up your strength. But then sometimes you fall sick or like you're busy, you can't go for a couple of weeks and then you need some time to like slowly build back up again, right? And I realized that and I was like, okay, I need to be aware that this is what being active looks like. This is what engaging in exercise looks like. It's not just upwards and onwards. It's also going down sometimes and then coming back up. It's like a journey, right? And then it's not like you have to like hit all these certain levels. Like, okay, after I'm done with basics, I'm going to hot basics. And then after I go to hot basics, I'm going to like elevate. And then after elevate, it's like, it's not like check marks. It's not like achievement boxes to tick. It's definitely still a journey. I think I've definitely settled more and more into this like exercise philosophy in the last 2 years. But just because I've settled more into this sort of like thought patterns, it doesn't mean that I always feel that way, right? There are certain times where I lose sight of that. Which is why I also think actually it's really important to sort of have like an accountability buddy. Somebody who shares the same mindset as you, who also goes for classes, or like somebody that you can exercise with, for example. Just so that you guys can keep each other on track. Not just in terms of like, oh, okay, like why haven't you been going for classes? But more like, hey, like, are you okay? Like, you seem like, you know, you're not really in a good place. Like, why are you beating yourself up? Things like that. So as with everything I do, I think even exercise takes a lot of like awareness, a lot of consciousness, a lot of thoughtfulness. And I think it's a good thing. I think it's always a good thing to step back away from what everybody tells you things should be. And then actually take some time to think about what you want it to be and what it looks like for you outside of all the noise. So that's where I'm at with exercise. And I think the same ethos goes into my routine with health supplements. And let me tell you guys, like self-directed activity in the area of supplements is so important to me because when I was a child, I have all these like horrible nightmare stories of my grandmother force feeding me supplements. It was seriously like one of the worst parts of my childhood, okay? Like I remember sitting at the dining table during breakfast and I would get force fed all these horrible supplements. Like it would be things like fish oil. So we tried it in a variety of ways. Sometimes it would just be like, drink the spoon of fish oil. Like imagine just going to your kitchen right now and then pouring a big old tablespoon of olive oil and oh my God, I'm getting so agitated that the mic is moving. And then shoving that spoon of olive oil into your mouth. And I'm not making this up. Like my grandma would make me drink olive oil as well. Like it's either olive oil or fish oil. And it makes me gag, guys. If you don't believe me, go to your kitchen right now and do it. This is not normal. It's really, really not normal. I don't even think anybody could take a spoonful of truffle oil like that, okay? So let alone fish oil, which is really, really stinky. Fish oil is stinky, okay? So when the fish oil was clearly not working out for me, she started trying to feed me fish oil capsules. Guys, I'm telling you, that shit's not any better, okay? For a child who doesn't know how, and when I say child, I literally mean child, like kindergarten age, okay? For a child who doesn't know how to swallow capsules, I kind of think that the capsules are worse because the capsules already smell and they have this just weird taste, right? And fish oil capsules are never like hard medication. It's always like these like soft capsules that are filled with oil and it's just like, it's like a gel casing. They melt so, so quickly. You put them in your mouth and they immediately start melting. You can immediately taste the fish oil. And then you have to try and force yourself to swallow the capsules. I know adults who can't even swallow capsules, okay? Let alone a five-year-old child. And so because I couldn't swallow it, it would be like dissolving in my mouth. And so not only would I have fish oil in my mouth, I would have a mix of fish oil and water in my mouth. Oh my God. Talking about this is like, it's really giving me like traumatic flashbacks, okay? And it was not just fish oil, okay? It was also like she had this like yellow powder. You know what? I'm gonna search what it is right now because like that yellow powder really traumatized me.
Oh my god, okay. It was definitely nutritional yeast. Oh my god, I cannot believe my grandma was feeding me nutritional yeast. Oh my god, this is traumatizing. So I'm on a page like WebMD, a source you can trust. So she would sprinkle like a spoonful of nutritional yeast over my breakfast, which was like Quaker Oats at that point in time. And the taste of nutritional yeast is really bad. Like, you can taste it. It tastes very, very like wholemeal-y and like grainy. And obviously as a child, like I was not into that, okay? WebMD says it's like a cheesy, nutty flavor. And it can be added to just about all your meals and snacks for extra protein, vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants. And it has like lots of like vitamins, like vitamin B12, folic acid. Like, girl, no wonder she was feeding me that thing. But I had to eat it every single morning and I hated it so much. I think the fish oil is the worst, but I think the second worst was that she made me drink like that green algae powder. What is it called? Chlorophyll water with powder. And so let me tell you, okay, chlorophyll water was like really popular on TikTok, like just this year, and I could not for the life of me understand why. You cannot pay me enough to drink chlorophyll water again. The taste of chlorophyll will forever haunt me. She would sometimes put the chlorophyll powder like in my oats as well. I don't even know that chlorophyll actually does anything for you, so I don't know why she did that to me. It did not stop after I grew up, okay? Like every time I see her, she's like giving me like a new supplement to eat. She'd be like, oh, like have this like chicken essence, or like have this like vitamin C powder. And the thing is, like, none of these things tasted bad. With the exception of the childhood stuff, they did not taste bad. They actually tasted good. The vitamin C powder was actually really yummy. It was like this like orange soda-y flavor. But because I was so traumatized from whatever happened as a child, I just have this like natural aversion to supplements. So I avoided supplements for a very, very, very long time. And then sometime around 2021, I stumbled upon Moom's Instagram account, and I didn't even know that they were a supplement company at first. How I found out about them was that somebody had posted this water bottle that they got from Moom, and I was like, oh my god, that's such a cute water bottle. And so I went onto their Instagram page and I started like looking around, and I was like, oh, these are supplements. I was like, okay. By this point, like, I still have an aversion to supplements, but it's not as bad anymore, and it looks kind of interesting. And okay, no, and supplements are really, really expensive. If you go to like one of those supplement stores, they're so, so expensive. So I wanted to kind of like see if I would be willing to try eating supplements on my own. But I also wasn't willing to drop like $100 at a supplement store, right? On like a bottle of vitamins that I don't know if I was actually going to eat. So I was like, okay, they do these like monthly subscription things where you can like personalize the supplements you want to receive. So I'm kind of curious. Let me see if they want to work together. So I reached out to them, asked them, do you guys want to work together? They're like, okay, like, let's try it out. So they offer me 50% discount. And then I calculate, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to try it out. If it doesn't work, like, I didn't lose that much money. Like, it's not super expensive anyway. So the entire Moom structure is really like fuss-free, very easy. It's very accessible, right? Because you can just try things out for like a month. If you don't like it, you cancel. It's like very like stress-free. You don't feel like you're committing yourself to like a bottle of like 100 pills, right? If you're watching on video, this is how it looks like. It's just basically this small little packet where you just like tear it open, you have the supplement. It doesn't feel scary, right? It's like, if I want to eat it today, I eat it today. If I don't want to eat it today, like, it's just in the packet, whatever, right? So Moom was actually started by these two sisters who wanted to create natural remedies and supplements for the modern Asian woman. How it works is that you go onto the website, you take like this really quick and easy 5-minute quiz. From there, they'll recommend you like a couple of supplements that you might want to add into your Moom packet, like a Moom subscription, right? So they don't just sell you like one vitamin and be like, oh, okay, this vitamin is like for this one issue. They actually try and like understand what kind of health issues you're supporting, or like what kind of life stage you're at, to try and recommend the best combination of supplements for you, for like a more holistic approach to healthcare, right? Like through the quiz, like they're going to take into consideration things like your age, your diet, your daily lifestyle, like how active you are, how often you're sitting, how much sleep you get. And then you can also choose specific issues to support, and then you can choose life moments to support. So when I signed up for it, I wanted to kind of tackle things like my mood, my anxiety, my stress, my sleep, and also support my immune system, because I was falling sick very often during that period of time. So I took the quiz and then they recommended me a couple of supplements. And the really good thing about this subscription plan as well is that each supplement is really, really affordable. So each supplement per month only costs about $5 to $18. Like the lowest price is $5 a month, and then the supplement that's the highest cost is $18 a month. If you split the cost into 30 days, you're essentially only paying like 15 to 60 cents per day per supplement, which is really, really affordable compared to like the big brand names that you get out there. Like I think if you go to something like Watson's or Guardian and you get a bottle of melatonin, it can go up to like $30. Bigger brand ones, like even more expensive than that. And because it's a subscription plan, every single month you get a box sent to you. So you don't have to worry like, oh my God, I'm running out of supplements. I need to restock before I forget. It's like all these like little touches that made it so accessible and so fuss-free and like so suitable for my very, very busy lifestyle. So that was kind of like how I got into taking supplements. Then in my packet, I got B-complex, super curcumin, and magnesium. I also consulted my grandma, by the way. I was like, oh, okay, here are the four supplements that they recommended to me. Like, which one do you think I should get? She's like, oh, okay, I get these three. So then this is the three that I settled on, and I haven't changed it since, just because it was working so well for me. They recommend eating it for 3 months before you see like any real changes. I started seeing changes like very, very early on. Within like the first 1.5 months, I could already like tell the effects, and my grandma herself could tell the effects. She's like, oh, you look a lot more like energetic, you look a lot brighter. But I think the biggest thing for me was that it really helped with my period regulation. Before I was taking my Moom supplements, I would get my period like once every 4 to 6 months, and it would be kind of like unpredictable. But then since I started on Moom, I am actually getting my period once a month. Like, so when I first started taking it, like within the first 1.5 months, I was getting my period every 3 months from then on. So I could track my period a lot more easily. And now it's been 2-ish years of me taking Moom, and my period comes like every single month, regardless of how stressed out I am or like what my appetite is like, what my diet is like, how active I am. The period has been regular, which is like a huge, huge thing for me, because my period has never been regular up until this point, which then made me feel very encouraged, because I had like taken this step to look into the supplements myself, and I could personalize my entire like supplement regime. I could like swap things out as and when I wanted, and then I was actually seeing the results very, very tangibly from that. That again made me realize every part of this health and wellness ritual has to be self-directed. It can't be like, oh, somebody tells me like, oh, take this, it's good for you, and then I just go and take it. Like, it just doesn't fly with me. It has to be something that I want to do, because when it's something I want to do, then I will commit to it all the way. And since then, I've become a lot more receptive to like any sort of like health aids, not just like my daily supplements, but also like other things like helping with like bloating or like helping with my sleep. Moom does like this thing called Sleep Well, which has like a really, really small dose of melatonin along with other natural ingredients that helps to encourage melatonin production in your body. And I used to be quite resistant to using like sleep aids, because I just felt like, oh, I should be able to do such a natural thing such as sleep, right? But I slowly realized that it's a natural thing, yes, but it's also something that it doesn't come easy to everybody, right? And it's okay to like need help with it. So I became more open to taking like melatonin. Now I drink my chicken essence, given to me by my grandmother. I drink it without resistance. I actually enjoy drinking it. So yeah, I would say that like overall, because I could take responsibility and take charge of my own regime in this sort of sense, it became something that was also a lot more joyful. And I love getting to like share this part of my like health and wellness journey with like you guys over like Instagram, this podcast. It feels like something that I can really get behind and encourage people over, not as like some like gimmick. Can I just say, I've had so many brands reach out to me for like these things, like drink this slimming milk tea, eat this like digestive enzyme that will help you manage your appetite. I have always and will continue to reject those engagements. I really don't believe that taking any of these supplements should be driven by like aesthetics or beauty standards. It really has to be this like conscious, thought through effort for yourself out of gratitude for your body, right? And like taking these supplements is also like an act of gratitude for my body. It's like asking my body, like, how can I best support you? Is doing this a good way of supporting you, or is it not working for you? And so because I grew more into this like holistic approach to healthcare and wellness, like I think it's also really important that I bring up the role that therapy has had in coming to these realizations. So I actually suffered from general anxiety disorder and depression right from the age of like, I want to say 16 or 17, and I've been in therapy on and off since then. Therapy has benefited me in like this whole entire host of waste, which has then affected the way that I approach exercise and like supplements, right? So for example, like one of the very first things that I learned in therapy was like learning how to breathe. Because at the point where when I first entered therapy, I was having very, very frequent anxiety or like panic attacks. And what my therapist recommended was that I practice breathing every single day, not just when I feel anxious, like, okay, I engage in these like breathing techniques. Engaging in it every single day is like teaching my body, when you're anxious, remember that this is how you regulate your breathing. And so now when I approach yoga and there's this like focus on like breath, coming back into an awareness of your breathing, that makes so much sense to me, right? It's like another way that I can practice breathing in an everyday sort of way. And it also makes me realize that actually I'm not very good at breathing. If you're listening to this, take a moment to consider if you're actually good at breathing. Is breathing something that you think about at all? Because breathing actually affects us in a lot of different ways. It helps to regulate your heartbeat, your anxiety, stress. It affects your emotions. How often do you actually stop to like think about your breath, what your breath is doing for you, or how your breath can work for you? And then in therapy, I also sort of like learned the importance of like exercising. My different therapists have always encouraged me to engage in exercise because, like, scientifically speaking, exercise produces endorphins. It's good to like get your body moving. It's beneficial to your mood. It takes up energy so that by the time you get into bed, you're like tired, you're more ready to sleep. And for a long time, like, I resisted that. Again, because I didn't want to do something just because, like, my therapist told me I should do it. But then when I actually stepped back into it and then I started exercising, I realized, like, oh my gosh, yeah, like, actually exercising does bring me joy. Actually, exercise, like, does affect my mood. Like, I can tell that there is a difference. Like, after I attend a yoga class, I feel more refreshed. I feel a little bit happier. I feel better about myself. And then therapy also pinpointed the different areas in my life that I needed to work on. I mean, obviously, in a broader sort of way, like in a way that tackles, like, for example, the way I think, like my thought patterns or the way I approach issues, but also like just in a more general sense, like realizing that I needed help with sleep, I needed help with mood, I needed help with anxiety, so that when I then went on to do like the MOOM quiz, I already knew what issues I wanted to tackle. I wasn't like doing the quiz and thinking like, like what do I want help with? I already knew what my body needed, right? And that's really one way that therapy has benefited me greatly. It's just coming back to not just my body, but also my mind. Like, where is my mind at? Like, what am I thinking about? And like, how can I change this thinking if it's not beneficial for me, right? If I can change my thinking because it's not beneficial for me, then how can I also like that bleed into the activities that I do? If spin is not beneficial for me anymore, and if this way of thinking about exercise is not beneficial for me anymore, then what's a different way I can look at that, right? I think in like previous episodes, a lot of times when I say like, okay, what's a different way to look at these things? Or like, what's a new way to see the world? That's kind of like been in the context of academia, right? Like this like curiosity for new things. But I think in this case, my urge to look for a different way to see things, it came from me realizing that the kind of thoughts and the kind of actions that I was engaging with wasn't actually beneficial to myself, or it wasn't actually giving me joy or happiness. And then it was just like, okay, then why am I doing it? Actually, I can change. And obviously it's not just like, oh, okay, I woke up this morning and I was like, I'm just gonna change my mindset. I'm just gonna be happier today. I'm just gonna be different. Like, obviously it's not like that, right? It's like many, many years in therapy of like undoing many, many different core beliefs. Engaging in the act of undoing this core belief helped me undo a lot of other different behaviors and thoughts that I had in other smaller areas of my life. And I didn't realize until these parts were actually moving that they actually make such a big difference in my life. Consciously engaging in this act of being grateful to myself, of being conscious of my body, of what it needs, is so, so gratifying. It's beneficial in a way that I don't think is talked about enough on social media, for example, right? Because social media, I think, is also a lot about like instant gratification. It's like, if you do this workout for the next 45 days, you're gonna get this body. Or if you drink this chlorophyll drink, you're gonna have clearer skin in like 1 month. Like, tried and tested. This is how it worked for me. This is how it's gonna work for you. But I think there's very little content on social media or on like new media that kind of encourages you to think about it on your own and then kind of come to these routines and these ideas and these patterns through your own method of like trying and testing and checking in and thinking and then finally settling. And then, you know what? Going back to the drawing board and like rethinking it, right? It's a long process, but it's obviously not glamorous because nobody's really going to go on to TikTok and be like, here's what you can expect in 45 days. And that's nothing. And that's like no specific result, right? It's not clickbaity. It doesn't work for social media. And I think there is also this like element of performance at times that people don't realize they're engaging in. The need to snap an Instagram story every time you go for a yoga class or every time you're on a spin bike. I think there's also this need to like step back and be like, why am I going for this class? Or like, why am I posting about it? Like, what am I trying to like project? Or like, is it actually just for me? Is it actually like, oh, I'm just sharing because it's like fun or like whatever? Or is it because like you're trying to like exude this image of yourself? I'm so fit. I'm like fitspo. I'm like one of those gals. You know what I mean? And I don't think that there's anything inherently wrong in that. I think it's perfectly fine to like share. Everybody wants to like curate this image of themselves, right? It's kind of like idealistic to say like, oh, don't curate this image of yourself. But I guess what I'm trying to say is like that there's this need for criticality and not a sense of like, oh, being critical of yourself, but more like just taking a step back to reconsider what you're doing. Like, let's say tomorrow Instagram was not a thing, you had like zero followers. Would you still be engaging in these activities the way you've been? Like, would you still be like putting all this pressure on yourself to achieve this certain lifestyle, achieve this certain look, right? And if the answer is no, then maybe you should stop and think about what you can do for yourself to make this like a more organic experience or an experience that you yourself are like responsible for or like happy about. Because I think like something like health, wellness, exercise, these are all things that people really at this point take for granted. Like the perception of health, wellness, and fitness is something that everybody like takes for granted now. Like it's like, oh, everybody knows that doing all these things are like good for your health. Or everybody knows that, oh, this is the kind of way that people should look up. This is the kind of exercise to do like if you want to look this certain way, right? But these things, they don't actually exist in any sort of like objective reality, right? It's actually all up to you. So yeah, I hope this episode kind of reminds you that at any point you can stop and take stock of like where you're at, and if something's not working for you, you can change it. And if something's working for you, then like good job, you know? And I hope that it also prompts you to act in ways that give thanks to your body. Just think of like one thing that like you're grateful to yourself for accomplishing today. And just think of one way that you can then say like thank you to your body. Whether it's literally the act of like saying like, okay, like thank you. Or engaging in something, getting yourself a drink, going for a class, whatever it is, right? Thinking of ways that you can show yourself that you are grateful and show your body that you are grateful and to accept your body, your mind, like yourself as is instead of what it should be or what you think it should be or what other people think it should be. This is a long journey for me to get there. So I would be curious to know like where you are on this journey or like what you think of this mindset. So if you have any thoughts, you can always DM me or drop me a comment on the podcast Instagram. That's backoftheparty, backoftheparty. If there's anything else you want to hear more about, you can also let me know. And if you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you drop us a follow, share it with your friends, share it on your social media. We're available anywhere you listen to podcasts, Spotify, Apple, YouTube. It really helps me when you get the word out, helps me produce more episodes for you guys. And I will see you at the next party 2 Mondays from now. We release new episodes every other Monday at 8 p.m. And till then, I hope your next exercise session is a party in celebration of your body. Bye!